All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minister approved. Welcome, Representative Gardner, to our committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Shall I go ahead? Or did you want to? I'm going to move the bill.
I've got somebody else's glasses, so bear with me. Yes. Representative Rohde, would you move?
He doesn't have a glass, so he moves the bill.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move House File 418 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on State and Local Government Operations.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, last year I, in response to a member of one of the communities I live in, I introduced two bills related to buckthorn, which is a persistent piece of vegetation that has caused a lot of problems in Minnesota, particularly in a lot of suburban communities, and Minneapolis and St. Paul. And not really knowing my prohibited noxious weeds from my restricted noxious weeds, I asked researchers if they could help sort out some options for how a community could deal with the issue of getting rid of buckthorn. Mm-hmm. And I was given a couple options, and I introduced one bill that would have created a, moved it up as a prohibited noxious weed from being a restricted noxious weed, and that had a huge fiscal note on it, or would have, and a lot of local governments said, well, that bill would require us, all of us, to work to eradicate it, and we're not sure we really have the resources or wherewithal to do that. The other bill, which I have reintroduced and which you have before you, is a bill that would is fairly permissive, which would allow local units of government to enact an ordinance, to require public and private property owners within its boundaries to eradicate buckthorn. Now, the community that has expressed an interest in it, although this isn't an official, this is not an official view of their city, is the City of North Oaks. And the Representative McFarland and I represent one half each. And North Oaks is actually a very unique community in Minnesota. It's a privately owned community. It was originally set up as one big piece of cohesive land as part of what eventually became the St. Paul Water Services. So the water that you drink in this building actually comes from Fridley, from the Mississippi River, and goes due east and lands in two lakes in North Oaks, and then goes to two in Badness Heights, and eventually to the waterworks in on Rice Street in St. Paul. After that, the whole property was bought by James J. Hill, the empire builder who created the Great Northern Railroad, and his grandson, Louis W. Hill, Jr., who was a member of this body. I looked it up this afternoon, from 1936 to 1952. Helped set up the North Oaks Company, which is a private holding company, which then is able to sell lots for development over time, and have done that over the last 50 years. It's a wooded community, and they've taken great pride in managing their natural resources because it doesn't really match the hierarchy, I guess you'd say, of other municipalities in Minnesota that just had a very aggressive group of people in the community who have attacked things like oak wilt. And I just found out they have an internationally recognized program for oak wilt that's worked out very well. But buckthorn continues to be a persistent problem. Birds eat the berries, and they do their thing somewhere else, and seeds are planted, and buckthorn grows again. So it's a very persistent thing to deal with. Some members of this community would like to be able to have explicit permission, essentially, to have cities enact an ordinance to fight it on their own if it's not going to be bumped up to be a prohibited noxious weed. And we've gotten various levels of reaction from several departments, including Ag and the DNR. So I thought we might as well bring the issue forward, see what discussion it merits, and see if we can go through the process. And I do have a member, resident of North Oaks, Joan Brainard, who is a longtime publisher of the North Oaks News and is a buckthorn buster. And maybe she can just tell you a little bit about the rationale for the bill.
Would you say your name into the mic, please, for us?
Yes, my name is Joan Brainard, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself, not on behalf of my city. I have been a resident of North Oaks since, I bought one of the first lots and moved there in 1957. I am also wrote a book about the history of North Oaks with the co-author. We have had been very successful in past years in being able to control things that are damaging our environment. What Representative Gardner didn't conclude is that Lewis W. Hill future for the community was entirely environmentally oriented. He wanted the compatibility of residential development along with the environment. In fact, he came to the point where if there was a tree in the way of where the engineers had said a road would be, the road was changed, the tree was not taken down if it was a major tree. We have been very successful in our Oakville Control Program. It's been initiated in North Oaks in the 1950s. It was in cooperation with the University of Minnesota, and it's still going on. We, among the northern suburban areas, still have our forest of oak trees because of our Oakville Control Program. We went on to a deer program after 800 deer came into our community and was eating everything in sight. We were able as a community to solve this problem, not without controversy, but it was solved, and we now have a deer control program in which the deer, a number of deer that are in the community are in balance with our natural environment. So now we have another challenge, and I guess life is full of challenges, and it's this buckthorn. We've had a voluntary program running for about 10 years. Less than half of the community has voluntarily removed the buckthorn from their property. The unfairness about this is that birds eat the berries, as Representative Gardner said, and then they distribute the seeds on other people's property. So anybody who's done the voluntary removal program is being reseeded by the buckthorn on other property. What I'm suggesting is that you just give local government permission to pass an ordinance to control buckthorn. You cannot eradicate it, just like old folks, you cannot eradicate, but you can control it. You can still have your native species and your oak in your community if we can get this buckthorn under control. There is no money involved with this. This would be enable a city to debate, discuss, to find a solution for their own city and to use their own funds for this. We have three major landowners which we will be working with if we can pass an ordinance, and these three major landowners have lots of buckthorn on their property. Over the 50 years of this city, of our city, we have been able to work together. It's the North Oaks Company, the North Oaks Golf Club, and the North Oaks Homeowners Association, and the city have been able to work to solve problems. Please give us the opportunity to solve a problem that will enable us to save our forest once again. Do you have any questions?
Representative Saul.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is, if I or a friend of mine had a bunch of buckthorn in your community or someplace else, what hoops would I have to jump through to be able to spray that and kill it?
Well, let me tell you first, there are people who do not want to spray, and there's people who do want to spray. And so you have to recognize that those who do not want chemicals on their lawn, for instance, I put no chemicals on my lawn at all, but I do treat buckthorn. If you're going, or you can use a combination of the two. So if you want to go out and you either can hire somebody to do it or you can do it yourself. We've done it ourselves on our own lot. We spend less than $100 a year annually to control our buckthorn. It can be hand pulled out when it's just a year or two old. Very easy. If you have a bad day, go out and pull buckthorn. Makes you feel better, maybe. And otherwise, when you get up to 2 inches, there's a weed wrench that we own in the community, and they can be borrowed, or you can use a shovel. Buckthorn roots are very shallow, and you can ease them out with pushing. Or if you want to do as I do, I cut them off about, if it's 2 or 3 inches or more, I cut them off about an inch or two above the ground. Immediately, I take a shrub killer, and I paint only that little stalk of buckthorn. It will not affect any other vegetation around, and it's 99% good. Gets rid of it. Once you've done your clearing, and you should start with the large shrubs with the berries, so that you can get rid of the source of transporting to other lots. Once you go through that process, you can just go around and pull the others every 2 or 3 years. You've got the project done. And the best time to do this is in the fall when you have less foliage, there's no ticks in the woods, and the buckthorn's easy to see and easy to get at. Incidentally, if you have buckthorn 2 or 3 inches, it makes very good firewood. It's very dense. One of our residents even took a large piece of buckthorn and put it on his shop, and he made wooden spoons that would go through the dishwasher. That's how dense the wood is.
If I do want to use chemicals, I want to spray it. Do I just go to the hardware store and buy the spray and spray it? I don't need a permit or anything to do it.
It's shrub and brush killer. It's made by Fertilome or Ortho, and it costs about $18 a quart. The quart will last you for a long, long time. Then you'd use a paintbrush or a spray, but if you use a spray, you'd want a very small nozzle, so you only get the stuff.
Representative Drostowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Gardner, and the testifier's name again is?
Joan Brainerd.
Ms. Brainerd?
Brainerd.
Brainerd. Okay, like the town. Thank you. A few questions for this. Have you run into anybody who wants to continue to grow buckthorn? Is there anybody who is opposed to eradicating buckthorn that you've met?
Yes. Without degrading personal opinion, we have some libertarians. also, the buckthorn 20 years ago was a very good shrub for borders and hedges and things of that type. But they didn't know it's not a native species. It was imported. They didn't know how it could ravage the forest. And yes, we will have people. Just like we had with the deer program, just like we had with the oak program. I was on our city council at the time we had the oak program, and we spent 90% of our time on oak wilt and dogs. Oak wilt is the program is totally accepted now. I guess you have to deal with that. You have to hope you can deal with reason. You have to make whatever ordinance you have reasonable. You can't just say you have to have it done in a year. You'd have to put a period of time on it. This is where a community gets together and tries to come to middle ground and agreeable for everybody. And I would say our deer program, and we still have opponents, but they follow us.
Are there any other questions or comments? Representative Rostkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Brainerd, how would you expect to see an ordinance carried out? What components would it have? I'm assuming it would provide controls and limitations and take property rights away from people. Is that correct?
Well, I guess you have to look in property rights. You have a very good point to bring out there. Do I have the right to maintain a nuisance to everybody else in the community on my property? Do I have a right to have my buckthorn there? Do I have a right to have the berries there that are going to be carried to other people's property? My personal opinion is I do not have that right, but other people may disagree with me. Now, what was your other question? Is the rest of that question?
What type of mechanism would be?
This is what I have learned. I believe that if we had a committee discuss this, there may be other answers that will come out that will be, two heads. I'm of the opinion two heads are better than one. I would suggest that. So what I've learned is from legislation, it would have to be a period of time. You could not require it in a year, perhaps 5 years, maybe more, I doubt less, possibly at the time of a home sale so that people wouldn't come in and suddenly find out, so you would have a starting time. And you'd have to work this out to be reasonable. You also have to consider that these large landowners, just even maybe in 5 years, would be a problem. When we had the oak wilt ordinance going in, we had still the North Oaks Company with a lot of undeveloped land there, and we came to agreement with them that they would do the oak wilt control work 800 feet from an approved subdivision lot. Now, oak wilt goes underground, or unless you have it go with the picnic beetles in the spring, which it can go overground then, but we don't allow any cutting of oak during that period of time, and our foresters must be licensed in the community, and they understand that. So you have to work out what is going to be reasonable and is not punitive. And that is something that I think I have a great faith in my community can work things out.
Representative Stelzer?
Does Representative Doty want to go first?
I can follow up. Ms. Brainerd and Representative Gardner, what measures will you take to ensure that government entities that own land do follow through and indeed clean up their buckthorn prior to removing the property rights away from landowners? I see with our current noxious weed law very readily throughout the entire countryside, especially those parcels of property owned by government. It's I find it very ironic in that private landowners are held up to the noxious weed law, but the public parcels of land are very plentiful with each and every noxious weed growing out there. Maybe the reason is we just own too much state land. I don't know what the answer is, but certainly what we're seeing, again, you're in a different scenario. I'm from rural Minnesota, and it may be quite a bit different in North Oaks, but out by us, you know, you've got farmers trying to control their noxious weed from Canada thistle to, you know, to wild hemp to everything, but it grows rampantly on public land, and the public entities don't control it, aren't required to control it, but then we've got these laws which are actually are punitive in place to control those noxious weeds. How do you mitigate that reality?
Madam Chair and Representative Druskaffe, if you're really interested in private property rights, North Oaks is the place for you, because there actually is no public property, if I'm not mistaken. Landowners actually own the road up to the center line on the frontage of their house. So you actually have to be invited to come in. So that brings up a bigger strategic question. You have a community that, actually I would agree with you that, okay, if the public sector can't take care of its land and they're requiring it for the private sector, that would be problematic. And in fact, that was some of the comments we got from the DNR. But in fact, we have a community that is sort of a bastion of private property where people actually do cooperate together as members of a homeowners association. That's what happens after the land is developed. And they've come to agreement on some of these issues, and they contract and have their own forester, and they manage a lot of their own property. And some of the comments I think we're going to get, I've seen some people in the wings who may testify about other city perspective, is that this particular city doesn't look like a city. It doesn't, in terms of its structure and its hierarchy and how it's governed. And so I'm kind of at a loss on how to articulate how can you find something that would be a solution in this community, but in other communities like in Shoreview right across the road, right, Lev, you might say that isn't going to work because it's a standard city. So I'm not sure quite what the answer is, but I think the folks in North Oaks are just looking for permission to be able to discuss it on their own and combat the problem on their own as they see fit.
I would like to address that because I think that is a very good question, and Representative Gardner has told you that our community is we have city government, but city government does not do our recreation or our roads. However, I think that any other city that wanted to do this, it's going to be the city council that passes this ordinance. And I think it's up to the city council to figure out, can they do something about this, and to what extent would their budgets extending to do it in their own parks and recreational areas. I don't believe there's any city that, or any city park person, would not admit that this is a problem. And so do you ignore it, or do you can start out, for instance, in a city, taking the biggest shrubs out first, because those are the berry-producing ones. You've got a big step in that direction. But I think each city would have to decide, because they're the one that's going to pass the ordinance, is can they handle this project, in what manner, and how much can they afford to spend on it. I think ignoring it, well, I think ignoring it is ignorant, but I don't want to insult anybody by that. But when you've got a problem, address it and see what you can do with it.
Representative Doty.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I noticed that this bill is headed to GovOps next, and I would think that the discussion of property rights versus the right of government to regulate probably better belongs there than here in the Ag Committee. We have taken testimony on buckthorn both in the Ag Committees and in Environment Committees for the last 2-3 years at least that I've been here. And we talk about it largely because it harbors soybean aphids over the winter time, as I recall. And in rural parts of the state, that's a nasty thing to do to our soybean farmers, so we're very concerned about that. But along with that testimony, we learned that there's so much buckthorn statewide that we're not going to get rid of it all, no matter what. And you, early in your testimony, Ms. Brainerd, you talked about how it's so thick that it's going to be choking out things like that. And so I assume that that's the interest of North Oaks or our municipality, as this is worded here. You're probably not in the business of protecting soybean farmers, but you find that that weed is nasty for other reasons. Is that an accurate summary?
That is correct, and you just taught me something new about it.
I was just wondering, Madam Chair, why the Ag Committee is hearing a bill that sounds like a municipal cleanup problem, but because it's pesticides, possibly because it's runoff. I understand there's a lot of overlap there. So.
Well, there also is studies out that say that buckthorn is discourages a number of types of our birds. You know, it's not deer won't touch it, unfortunately. Just think what we could do if we could get deer to eat it.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple of questions came up here. First of all, it talks about eradicating. I wonder if you want to use some type of different word other than eradicate. I know that it's possible to eradicate, which I think means to completely wipe out. Now, to use for Representative Gardner's benefit, using a Lincoln-esque measure, you may be able to eradicate slavery, but I don't know that you can eradicate
buckthorn. I don't believe you can eradicate buckthorn, just like you cannot eradicate oak wilt. You can control it.
That maybe you should use that word.
Yes.
Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl, I see in line 1.9 it does say for the control or eradication of, or, oh, excuse me, I'm reading the wrong thing. May I make an oral amendment then, Madam Chair? I don't think I could move it.
Well, you can't, but
I could.
Erdahl.
Actually, I'd move to wherever it says eradicate, replace it with control. Attempt to control.
Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl, I'd be fine with that. On line 1.10, that would eliminate the word eradicate and insert the phrase attempt to control. But I can't move that.
I move it.
1.10. We had it, I think it's on both lines, 1.9 and 1.10, eradicate and eradication.
Madam Chair, the title as well.
Colby, do you want to help us out?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I believe the amendment would be page 1, line 10, delete eradicate and insert attempt to control. And didn't notice the title, but that would be page 1, line 3, delete eradication and insert control.
Thank you, Colby. That's exactly what I had.
Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl and Council stakeholders suggested that the other statutes don't use the words attempt to, so that if we just let this eliminate it, eradicate on 1.10 and inserted control, that would be consistent with other cases.
Aye. Madam Chair.
I think Lincoln would be fine with that.
Representative Erdahl.
Do you want to repeat your amendment, or do you want Colby to walk it.
That's exactly what Colby said.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is adopted.
And Madam Chair, one other question, comment. Maybe we hear from the Department of Agriculture if they have any concerns or what their feelings are on this.
Welcome.
Madam Chair, I'm Quinn Keeney. I'm the Policy Director at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. And I will just say I don't believe that this bill really affects the department at all. Buckthorn, as was testified to, it is on our restricted noxious weed list, which limits transportation and sale. That's different from being on the prohibited list, which mandates control and eradication. But this really, the bill itself doesn't mandate the department to do anything, so we don't have any issue with it.
Okay. Are there any other questions and comments about?
Representative
Dostoevsky. Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, are there going to be any other testifiers? There are. Okay, I'll wait till then. Thank you.
I'd like to call Craig Johnson down to testify. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Craig Johnson. I'm here representing the League of Minnesota Cities. It's a rare opportunity for me to get to come to the Ag Committee. Thank you for giving me this chance. We at the League do not have any concerns about this bill. It is permissive. For those who are interested in why it's here at all noxious weeds are done through the Department of Agriculture. Cities are required to follow those statutes, just as counties and townships are. In fact, we're more required. A county can opt out and decide they're not going to enforce the noxious weed law and make the Department of Ag do it. Cities do not have that option. We must enforce the noxious weed law as a city government. Another wonderful unfunded mandate. But if you didn't know, if your city does not have a designated weed inspector, the mayor is the default weed inspector for your city. So cities are very used to dealing with this kind of issue. That's why we just wouldn't have a particular concern with it, even though it does raise for any community that chooses to adopt this, they will have to determine how they're going to measure whether people are meeting these goals or ordinances and how they're going to manage it on their own property as well. This is a pretty common issue for city governments to have to deal with, is to balance whether they are both able financially to manage the issue and whether they have the support for this kind of restriction on property in their community. So they would use their own procedures to determine that, and it could well be that one city would decide they are willing and to move forward with some kind of control on Buckthorn, and others would decide they aren't. This does allow that.
Representative Dostoevsky.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So you mean that that you're asking for another unfunded mandate, and are you going to ask for more LGA then for the cities in order to pay for the unfunded mandate?
Madam Chair and members, we are not requesting another unfunded mandate. We do not have a concern with this bill because it is permissive. It actually allows the city to decide for themselves whether they can afford to meet this and put an ordinance in place to require their eradication.
Is there any other questions? Comments? Is there anybody else that wants to testify? If not.
If not, Madam Chair, I would...
One more question. Is Ms. Brainerd still here yet? Oh, she is. I guess this would be this question. Thank you, Madam Chair. This question would be for Ms. Brainerd and Representative Gardner. Has anyone else asked for this other than the City of North Oaks? Is it actually? I think I heard residents within the city, but not necessarily the City Council has asked for it. And are there any other municipalities that have asked for similar permissive or enabling legislation?
Madam Chair, Representative Juskowski, the The city council, the city itself, has not requested the ordinance, but I have lots of motivated residents within North Oaks who are seeking to have an ordinance. And I believe a year ago when I did introduce two bills on Buckthorn, that I had lots of people saying, yes, that's the problem, but I didn't have anybody saying, this is the ticket. I would say that in some of the research that was done by the DNR and Ag for the last year, they did point out that on Oak Wilt, they had a similar statute, and it was successful in part because it was accompanied with $28 million. So, I mean, we're not even asking for money here either, but it wouldn't be unprecedented anyway.
May I reply to that also? A number of years ago, there was were a group of cities in Ramsey County that met regularly, I would say that over 5 years ago, working on this Buckthorn, because we were all new and we were really eager, and we thought we were going to rule, you know, we were going to conquer everything. It became, as we went through our volunteer situation, and it became down to the group is no longer meet. Because it was city administrators, people worked in their parks, because they were beaten. They could see no way they could do it. And we looked at the tree disease ordinance, and there was just no way that we could legally do that. And you know, I don't think you're going to take a step forward to pass an ordinance when you're not sure that it will withstand a legal challenge. It only takes one person out of a whole population to do a legal challenge. So I would say people have quit because they've been discouraged. I don't know what there is in my genes that have kept me going on this, but I guess I'm a crusader. I can see that it's so good because it just lets cities make their own decisions upon what they wish to do about it and how they can handle it.
Any other questions? Representative Jody?
Madam Chair, if there is no other discussion, I renew my motion that House File 418, as amended, be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on State and Local Government Operations.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The bill moves to State and Local Government Operations.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Welcome to our committee. Representative Faust, do you want to move your bill?
Yes, Madam Chair. I would like to move House File 710 and move it to the General Register, please.
Go ahead.
All right. Thank you very much. I have with me Quinn Cheney from the Department of Agriculture. And she will explain the bill, since this is a department bill. So I'll turn it over to her. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I'm Quinn Cheney, the Policy Director for the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. And as Representative Faust suggested, this is an agency initiative. It's really just a few housekeeping items for the department. The first section deals with the Food Safety and Defense Task Force. This was reestablished in 2007, and we just want to add in the word defense, so it's food safety and defense into the title and the duties of the task force. This was a word that was simply omitted when the bill was drafted in 2007, and it would allow us to, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has suggested it would be helpful to line up a little bit more with their responsibilities that they're asking us to carry out. The second piece of it is the Minnesota Organic Advisory Task Force, and the changes proposed simply expand the task force to add that we will advise the University of Minnesota as well as the Commissioner of Agriculture, that the task force will advise. It also changes organic food to organic products so that we can include more rapidly growing organic categories such as body care, cosmetics, pet food, and other fiber. Finally, it adds an at-large seat, which will just provide us a little more flexibility to address some of these emerging areas and special needs. Then, lastly, there are two repealers. We're repealing two reports that the department is required to do, one on aquaculture and one on invasive species. The department is the lead was designated as the lead agency for aquaculture development in the 1980s, and all of the regulatory, at that time, all the regulatory authority for aquaculture stayed with the DNR. There's really only one aquaculture business that we have worked with, and there's been very little activity in this area. Nobody has ever requested the report, so we'd like to discontinue the work on it. And then also there is an invasive species report that we are mandated to do. We're the lead agency on charged with excluding and preventing the establishment of exotic and harmful invasive species that may threaten agriculture or the environment in Minnesota. The reporting requirements for this particular report don't fit with our current strategies and approaches, and we also, it's duplicative in that we also produce an annual report for the whole division's activities, so we just like to provide one report instead of two reports, just, again, duplicative. I think that about covers the bill.
Representative Erdahl?
No, thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Cheney, how would this then impact the department's relationship with aquaculture?
Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl, there's very little activity that we do on aquaculture right now. The only thing that I'm aware of that we are doing on aquaculture is this report. And again, as I said, no one has requested the report, so I don't believe it would have any impact. It doesn't change the statutory requirements for us to do promotion if anyone becomes interested in us doing more activity. It doesn't change that authority. It just eliminates the report.
Representative Erdahl?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Cheney, so I just wanted to be clear that the department would still have some authority over aquaculture. It would not only put it in the hands of the DNR.
Correct. We would retain that authority.
All right, thank you.
Representative Hamilton?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Queen, Queen Cheney, I put them together. You know what I meant. Will any of this allow us to leverage any additional federal funds by passing this bill?
Madam Chair, Representative Hamilton, yes, the Food Safety and Defense Task Force, but one of the reasons for having that task force in place in the first place was to allow us to leverage federal funds by adding that term and defense that will clarify that we are eligible for certain federal funds from the FDA.
Representative Drozdowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Cheney and Representative Faust. Just accolades, Ms. Cheney, for actually seeing a department come forward and provide some repealers and getting rid of some laws that are burdensome to the people of Minnesota and to the taxpayers and not necessary. Thank you. The other thing is just a question. The word and defense, it seems it reads awkwardly there under Section 1. Food safety and defense, what are we defending from? I guess as a reader, I'm getting that, but I'm assuming you're talking about defense from foodborne illnesses. Is that what it's intended to be?
Madam Chair, Representative Drozdowski, it does read a little awkwardly, yes. However, I can simply say that this aligns us with what the FDA is looking for, and so while I would certainly be happy to modify the bill to make it read a little more clearly, I think that that would perhaps put at risk those federal funds that we're trying to leverage in the first place.
Representative Doty.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Ms. Cheney, the repeater part of this, that we would no longer have an annual report on harmful terrestrial invasive species, which species would we no longer be getting reports on?
Madam Chair, Representative Doty, you will still be getting, the legislature will still be getting reports on harmful and invasive species. We already produce an annual report from the division which covers all of these areas. This particular report is focused on carnal bunt, potato cyst nematode, gypsy moss, emerald ash borer, soybean rust, just to name a few. But again, all of those same topics are also covered under the other report. So we're simply trying to reduce duplication of effort.
So, Madam Chair, we're talking here only about this task force report and not the complete Department of Ag report on these species. Is that that's what I thought you just said, but I'm not completely sure.
Madam Chair, Representative Doty, maybe I'm not always very clear. I get a little nervous up here sometimes. The division, the Plant Protection Division, does an annual report on all of their activities that goes beyond just the invasive species eradication efforts and the harmful species that this particular report focuses on. The division report goes far beyond that, but it also covers the same details about the harmful and exotic species. So it's not a task force report. It's just there's two reports. One is a division report, and one is just the invasive species report. We're simply proposing to get rid of the smaller report, the invasive species report, and we'll continue to do the larger Plant Protection Division annual report, which covers all of the activities that they do, not just the harmful and exotic species.
Thank you. And one more follow-up, Madam Chair.
Representative Doty.
Is the department certain then that there's going to be nothing missing, and especially in regard to, we just had testimony on division of labor between DNR and MDA for species before they get here and after they're here. This report that we're eliminating isn't going to make any of that work harder to do or anything like that. We just want assurances of that.
Madam Chair, Representative Doty, I don't believe so. We'll still be reporting on the same things. It will just be included in this other report. I would also add that nobody's ever asked for this report either.
Thank you.
Representative Sturdall.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and hate to keep harkening back to this, but in reading the Commissioner shall prepare an annual report on the amount of fish and aquaculture products produced in the state. Is there a report from last year that I could read on this?
There is, yes, Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl, there is a report, and I have a copy of it in my bag that I would be happy to give you. It's also available on our website.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Cheney. I look forward, we can share that together sometime. Now, products. For the products we're producing, what are aquaculture products? Are we talking about fish? I mean, like hatcheries and things like that?
Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl, we are talking about fish. We're not talking, I will admit that I am not always very clear about the boundaries between what the DNR does with the hatcheries that they have. This is purely fish farming for the purposes of selling it, not for use by DNR or by the state or for anything else.
Southern State raised catfish.
Chile, the country of Chile and a lot of the southern states do a lot more with aquaculture. We really don't have any fish farming activities simply because it gets too cold here.
Madam Chair?
Right.
I believe near Olivia, Rhode Island, I went to a tilapia farm. So, and it's inside, so they're keeping them warm in there. Is that the type of thing, then, that under this report they would have? Fish like tilapia?
I would think so, Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl. Again, I would simply say this is just a report. This is, we're not eliminating any of the responsibilities from the department to do promotional activities at this point. If someone came to us and wanted us to work with them, we would be more than happy to do that still.
I think, if I can, Madam Chair, I think that that's a very important point, is that it doesn't reduce what they're going to do for aquaculture or for the fish farmers. All it's doing is eliminating and forcing them to write up a report that you're the first person ever that has requested that report just now. And so we're just eliminating some work that isn't accomplishing anything here.
It allows us, Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl, to refocus that staff time on more valuable activities, like actually finding some aquaculture to build in this.
Thank you.
Tom Peterson? Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Tom Peterson. I'm the government director for the Farmers Union, but today I'm the chair of the Organic Task Force, and appreciate your consideration in renewing this for another 4 years with the changes. I've been on the task force since 2003, appointed by Commissioner Hugesson, and I was appointed chair by Commissioner Hugesson 3 years ago now. So, and I found it to be a very useful task force. As you can see, there's members on it. I don't know if you have it or not, but there's people that from things like General Mills, there's farmers, there's people from grocery co-ops, university, and it's been a really good task force, I think, in advising the commissioner on duties and of all things organic. Just to give you a quick rundown on some of the things we've worked on the last 2 years, the department does an organic survey of farmers every year. They signed a memorandum of understanding with other units like the USDA, the university. They have worked on changes to the cost share program that some of you will see that Minnesota's had over the years. We added organic pages to the statistics book that everybody sees every year, the Minnesota statistics. A couple of years ago when we were looking at it, we saw the word organic wasn't in the book anywhere, just 2 years ago. And in talking with Commissioner Hugesson, he talked with USDA Rep. Perry Osmus, and within a couple of months we had put together and now have a couple of pages on organics and that. And so I think that's an important thing. The farm business management is another thing where it's expanded to organic. The Ag conference that the department hosts every year has been growing in participation. The vendor space was sold out this year. The commissioner, through the task force's advisory, has commented on federal USDA rules. They had a rule on pasture you might have heard something about, where the USDA rules that set up organic said that it had to have access to pasture, but they never clearly defined that. Well, the commissioner, after talking with farmers in Minnesota and our task force, made formal comments. The USDA was one of only two commissioners, our Department of Agriculture, I believe, that did that. It worked on other things, the task force, such as looking at working with WIC. There's a bill you'll see later on this session. We talked about some of the information on our organic, the livestock grants. And finally, I note that since we've been meeting last year, Wisconsin and North Dakota have now formed task forces, and our next meeting we're going to have a joint meeting with the Wisconsin Organic Task Force and trying to look at this. And we, at our last meeting, we had Dean Zergen and Dean Levine from the University of Minnesota. They were considering forming their own task force, and after looking at the makeup of the task force we have, that we felt like we didn't need to replicate, that we could have one task force, and if we needed to, we could have subcommittees. And so appreciate that, and I just leave you with this thought, that there, according to the latest Ag Census, there are 718 farms doing organic business in Minnesota for a total of about 96,000 organic acres. That ranks us 10th. We have usually around the top in organic corn and soybeans, but we're number one usually in those two, and we're in the top 10 in things like oats, barley, rye, hay, flax, and sunflower. So just appreciate your support for the organic task force, and thank you.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Peterson, organics, is this about a $2 billion industry for the state of Minnesota?
You know, I don't have the exact, Madam Chair, Representative Hamilton, I don't have the exact figures on that. It's not quite, the numbers I have is value of sales is $40 million, but that is only the value for the organic commodity sales off the farm, not the retail consumer sales. So I don't know what's coming out of the stores or the grocery stores, but we know that's expanding. So.
And Madam Chair. Yeah, it's substantial. It's substantial, and for some reason I was thinking $2 billion, but we should check that out. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Representative Doty.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm real sure that lines 3.2 and 3.3 don't mean that you're going to put like a political science prof or something on this. And I know you'd like to leave it open because maybe it's a researcher, maybe it's a agronomist, maybe it's somebody, but can you tell us who would the likely faculty rep be? What departments, what areas are we looking at putting on here?
Madam Chair, Representative Doty, the appointment process now goes through the Secretary of State's office, and then the Commissioner makes the appointments, and right now the spot is filled by a university, one of the organic specialists at the university. There's a couple of different people from extension on there, but it is it's appointed by the commissioner, and I would assume that he would take a consultation from the university on those appointments now, and they've so far since I've been on the panel, which has been 6-7 years now, we've always had really good people that were plugged into what the university was doing in organics, whether it's a professor or somebody in that department.
Madam Chair, I was just noticing that we had eliminated the language that required it be post-secondary research definition and broadened that. So I was just wondering what if you had a definite direction that you were trying to move with this, or just wanted to leave it open for.
Madam Chair, Representative Doty, I don't remember why that was added at our last meeting. But this bill we had talked about these changes at our last meeting, and I don't recall. So sorry, I don't know. So,
Representative Doty.
One more time, Madam Chair. So that's actually a comforting answer, because I think that means there's no change of direction plan for this, because I think this task force has done some very, very good things for Minnesota Ag, and thank you for that and your services, Chair.
Any other questions, comments? Anybody else want to testify? And Representative Faust, would you renew your motion?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I will renew my motion that House Bill 710 be passed and go to the General Register.
All those in favor? Say
aye.
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 And I think they were all. The motion prevailed. We're doing.